It's episode 234 of the Canes Cast. And Shane Willis, I know that the temperatures are frigid outside, but the Carolina Hurricanes are setting things on fire.
No doubt. They are streaking, Mike. I headed to the quad, was disappointed not to see you the other day.
I did bring my green hat.
And boy, was it frigid.
It was. It was very cold temperature, Shane.
It's cold out.
It is. But it doesn't matter. The weather always perfect for Storm Brew, which presents Canes Cast from R&D Brewing for the holidays, for the non-holidays, to get you through the holidays. Storm Brew.
No snow around, but cold enough to almost use a Canadian cooler, which is just sticking your Storm Brew into a snowdrift while you tailgate outside.
Yeah, we used to call it the Western New York fridge. You just set it outside.
Yeah.
And then it Mother Nature takes care of the rest for
it
you.
It would work this past week. It was quite chilly.
It worked worked on Christmas for me.
It's going to be a beautiful day today, which is Friday. Not only outside, but of course, will be beautiful inside PNC Arena when the Hurricanes take on the Florida Panthers in front of another packed house.
Yeah, the reason why we're doing this today, one, schedules have kind of made things a little conflicted. Two, we didn't want to do something, record it today and put it out tomorrow, and not talk about the streak that the Carolina Hurricanes are on, and hopefully, as we get to tomorrow, stay on, as they are on a 9-game winning streak that is tied for the franchise longest winning streak. They are on a 15-game point streak, which is the franchise's longest. And Shane, if there's one common thread, and we've talked about this a lot on the TV broadcast, we've talked about this a lot in the hallway, but if there's one thing that you look at that you can say, this is why the Canes are on this heater, they're on this run, is it one thing? Can I simplify it to that? Or is it too many things? It's the way that the whole mix comes together.
Well, to me, I don't think it's one thing. I think if I was going to lean towards one thing, a lot of people would be like, oh, you know, the Jordan Staal line's producing and we're getting the goals we need, which you do because you're going to need goals to win hockey games. But I go back to something Rod Brind'Amour talked about a little over a week ago, and he just keeps going back to the way his team's playing defensive hockey. And you're not giving up grade A opportunities in, you know, your own zone 5-on-5. Sure, the Hurricanes have given up a couple shorthanded goals these past couple games, but every time, and just go back to the last game against the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, a team that looked very disinterested in the Hawks, but again, did they have any chances? And so awesome to see Antti Raanta get a shutout. But when you look at that game, was there ever a moment when you were like, whoa, the Hawks just had a couple of great chances?
Two. There were two moments the whole game.
Two?
Two.
It was a 60-minute hockey game.
One was late in the second period. They had a great shift. And then the other one was Jonathan Toews throws one out in front that Max Domi deflects, and Patrick Kane was hovering in the area.
Yeah.
And that was all she wrote.
So, and that's when I talk about this team defensively. If you're going to play teams, it doesn't matter if it's the Hawks or tonight the Florida Panthers, and you give up two grade A's, it's pretty impressive the way this team as five-man units compete in their own zone defensively, how they're taking things away, and how they're minimizing the mistakes in your own zone. If there's an opportunity to get things out, they're making a play, they're making the right pass to get out of their zone and reset if they need to.
All right, you've been on teams that have been on quite a run, either winning streaks or point streaks. What's the feeling like? Take us inside the locker room.
It's probably the only time, and you can say this, and every professional sport would say this, the game seems easy, right? Not only easy physically, but mentally. And I think that's something we've seen from this team. We could say it's got to be getting easier for this team mentally. But Rod talked about this during the streak, how nothing ever affects this team on his bench. Like, they're always the same. They always work hard the same way and can come back in games and win, which we've seen during this streak. But as a player, you're coming to the rink every day, and it's almost like, let's just put our gear on, right?
Yeah.
And you get to that point, you're like, we know we're going to score. The excited nature inside a locker room, and, you know, winning is fun, if I might quote a movie, a great movie.
It's like way better than losing.
Way better. You're excited to get out on the ice. You know, let's get through morning skate. Can we play already? It's a great time of year, not only with the holidays and the players that were able to have the break, But to be on a streak like this is, you know, easy going inside that locker room, if you will.
All right. This is going to be a chance. I wasn't anticipating us heading with this question today, but now
so often we go down a path. Well, yeah, we got a
rabbit hole to get to. Everybody talks about the pressure on professional athletes, and there's a ton. There just is. And especially today's day and age where from the money that's made and everybody knows how much every player makes to social media and the access that people have on players. But there's the old tropes. It's the pressure when you're on a streak. And for me, I get the pressure on a losing streak because what you just said about what it's like in the locker room when you're winning is the exact opposite when you're losing.
Brutal.
You don't want to be there. You want to get in, do your work, and leave as fast as you can. You want the streak to be over,
yep.
You know, but everything's worse. The drive to work takes longer. You know, your house needs more fixing than it does when you're on a winning streak. But you get to a point where people are like, oh, do you feel the pressure of this winning streak? I don't know if you can feel pressure in a winning streak because, like you said, it's fun. You know it's going to end sometime. And you know you're not going to go, and for the Carolina Hurricanes, at you know the point when this streak started, Shane, they were 10-6-4, right? So that's 20 games. They know that they weren't going to go 62-0, right? They know that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
so
it's a lofty goal to have, but
so like, there's the internal pressure in the room to keep this feeling going, but it's nothing like when people say, do you feel this pressure to keep the winning streak going? That's not the same as the pressure to snap a losing streak, right?
No, not even close. Because as you mentioned, a player knows eventually at some point we will lose a game. But where I think there's a different type of pressure, and the Hurricanes have learned this the past couple years because they have been an elite team in the National Hockey League. But when you sit atop the mountain, and the Hurricanes right now are second best team in the National Hockey League behind the Boston Bruins point-wise, and you're in everyone's conversation because you look around, there's some great teams. Toronto's playing very well. Teams out in West, who's going to make the charge there? But you look in the East, Tampa continues to play hard and is getting their wins. But when you sit atop the mountain, there's more pressure there because you have a big target on you.
Yeah.
And every team that comes in says, let's knock these guys off. And I think teams get up to play the Canes now even more than they ever have because they want to beat the best of the best. And I think that's the pressure. Which, again, we talk about inside that locker room, these guys don't know it because they're the same every single day. And that's part of their culture of, like, we know who we're playing tonight. We know the level we're going to play at.
Yep.
And they during this streak, and when you look back at it, they've been getting to that level, and maybe even beyond in my mind, every single night.
No, I think without a doubt they have. And it goes back to what you say. It's not just one line. It's not just, you know, two or three players. It's the group and how they've been playing defensively out and then the runs that go with it. There is one other thing. I got to give you credit. The post game after the Philadelphia Flyers, we're doing Hurricanes Live. You joined me and Tripp Tracy. And, you know, the funny thing for me, and I say funny and it's not ha-ha, it's funny, like, really, we're going to nitpick a win?
Yeah.
Canes were up 6-2. It's the game before you take 3 days off for Christmas. You got 20 minutes left to play. And I'm sorry, but anybody who's ever been in an office or in a game, when you see there's like 30 minutes left on the clock, we're checking out.
Yeah.
We're already home.
We're up by 4. Let's put this one in neutral.
And normally you would say that the other team would do the exact same thing too. Normally. Normally, you know, you're like, well, the opponents are like, are we really going to? But there's the other side of it. You know, who's coaching the other team, John Tortorella, the skill level the other team has. Although Philly's record doesn't show it, they have skilled players. But you broke it down because people are like, how can you give up two shorthanded goals? And if there has been one Achilles heel for the Canes this year, or a thing that people want to pick at, it's been the power play. But you described it beautifully how it happens because the Flyers, penalty killers, well, who cares if we give up another power play goal and we lose 7-2? What's the difference losing 6-2, 7-2?
Right.
But the second that they saw there was a loose puck, Travis Konechny and whoever, we're leaving.
Yeah, Scott Laughton. I'm out of here.
We're out. We're going. And just hit us with the puck. And you're going to catch, especially if a defenseman is rotated over in the Canes. Most everybody's power play now only has one defenseman instead of two.
Yep.
So you're going to rotate over. If you do it right, you're going to get a forward going backwards trying to play defense. Yeah. The way you described it was absolutely perfect. So it's kind of like I'm, one, giving you the pat on the back, but two, want you to reinforce, when things like that happen, there's reasons why.
And I think, you know, I mean, I love our fan base, and everyone's going to ask those questions. At the end of the day, and Rod said, he goes, I'm not even going to talk about the third period. Like, because really, it doesn't matter. You know what matters? 2 points.
Yep.
Did they get the 2 points? Sure did. And let's go take a break with our families and reset and get ready. And they come back in after the break and win a game. So I've been in so many games and you're up. And even if it's one goal late and you get a power play, I've been told so many times by a coach, watch out. They're going to be going. They're going to be coming. Yeah, okay. We're going to score again right here. Whoa, where'd that guy come from? Yeah. You know? So it's a tough spot. And I go back to this team. This team is too good to sit here and dwell. Oh, I get. So what? 2 points. Let's move on. The streak continues. Who's our next opponent? Because that's all that matters.
When do you start looking at the standings? Like, for you. Not a team thing, but
well, not
Shane R. Willis, who you can Venmo.
I don't look at, yeah, anytime if you want tips, just Venmo. I'll text you.
Holiday season. It's good stuff.
And I said this the other night, and I agree with you that the break was a great time because these players needed it.
Yep.
But it's still too early because we're not halfway there yet. We're not. And I just go back and I look at the Devils because the Devils at the start of the year won 13 straight. Right? And now they're struggling to find those key wins. Not that they're playing bad, because I love what Rod said the other night about this team, because they're not losing games. They're not getting blown out. They just haven't found a way to win those tight games. And that's, to me, when you look at the Devils, that's a youthful team. That's why they're not winning. They're young.
They have one win in their last 9 games.
Right. But they're playing well. If you watch them, they got firepower all over the place.
Well, it's funny because the Canes get the 4-1 win, and even Rod said it after the postgame that the Devils were probably the better team.
Yes. I was between the benches that night, and I was like, wow, they are coming, and they're buzzing right now because they have that skill level. I think in this time of year, when we talk about, you know, the dog days in the middle of the season, which are coming up for every team, yep, the Devils, who went out and made moves this summer, and one of the best moves they made was getting Andre Palat. Not having him on the bench and in that locker room right now, when you're losing games like this, that is where you miss a guy like that. It's not that he's going to score a hat trick every night. He'll get his points. But that winning attitude and voice in the room when things are going wrong, and the Canes have it right now. Because even though everything's going right, Jordan Staal, Jordan Martinook, Sebastian Aho, Brent Burns, those voices in the room are a big part of why this team is where they are.
But when I say look at the schedule, it goes back to a few things.
All-star break?
Yeah, I think maybe for me that's when, like, especially if you're one of the top teams.
Yeah.
Like if
I think all-star break, you really take that. That's the part of the season, I think, when players really take that deep breath. Because, you know, with the new CBA, the players have that mandatory week off now.
Yeah.
And that allows everyone to reset. Right? And that's where I think every team goes, all right, where are we sitting? GMs are looking, where are we sitting? Do I make a move to pick something up right now to either get my team in the playoffs or get my team to a Stanley Cup final? And all the players go, okay, here's where we're sitting. One, we have to keep winning to keep in our spot. Or, you know, the teams in 3 through 9,
yeah,
are going to start the charge because they know they can't lose anymore. So that's the spot to me. To answer your question after a long-winded answer.
No.
All-star break.
No, it's good. You need to fill the time, and yeah. I'm good with
had
that.
A lot of coffee this morning.
The problem I have is when people do the, well, if you weren't in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving is 2 months into the season.
That's like an old farmer's tale.
It is. It's like, oh, well.
We saw the groundhog.
So that means winter is upon us, or what? Yeah, I'm
pretty sure everyone saw 15 groundhogs in Buffalo.
No, there were no groundhogs to see. They all are like, did you see the weather outside?
They couldn't get out of the drift.
Yeah, I do not want to poke too much fun because it's a very serious situation in my own hometown, and I'm very thankful that my family made it through unscathed. They were fine, didn't lose power, but that is a tough scene. And, you know, to bring it back to the sports world, look what it did to that team. They've had to cancel a couple of games. Yeah. And
back on the ice last night. Yep. Love the response of the team, the organization, the fans, having a moment of silence. Because as you mentioned, that's a difficult situation. You know, we can sit here and be like, holy, look at all this snow. But I think we forget sometimes what that actually does and how it cripples a city. You think about, you know, elderly folks that lose power and, you know, can't get out. All of those things come into play.
Yeah, you know, people who are on certain medical equipment to keep them going.
Right.
Where, hopefully nobody ever has to go through it. But we go through it down here with hurricane season. You know, when people talk about that, it's you get to a point of, you know, are you going to be able to make it through? And that's the serious moment for this. And we'll bring it back to the schedule and what we're looking at. There's no easy nights in the NHL anymore. There's no every team has talent, but I want to bring this to you because this is a sore spot between me and you. I loved the start of the World Junior Championships because what Czechia did to Canada. We've all seen this coming to your hockey playing nation, Shane. But then to my point of there's no layups, Slovakia takes Team USA out behind the woodshed.
Yeah,
and so the world is starting to catch up.
That is whether you're, I mean, remember, these are kids, whether you're an 18-year-old kid, right? Because Canada comes in, you get three guys back that are playing in the National Hockey League. You have Connor Bedard, who's going to be the first overall pick this year. And you walk into that room, guess what? You still got to put your skates on and do the work.
Yeah.
And get it done. And, I mean, that was a very difficult game for me to watch. They bounced back with two huge wins. I was driving in this morning. I'm glad you brought this up because difficult losses, and both teams will bounce back because they're the two best teams in that tournament. I saw some of my, lovely Canadian geese flying this morning, and everyone sees them fly all the time. Do you know why they fly in a V?
I do not.
Well, it's just what we do. It means victory.
Oh, ha! No. So, I'd go back to how many times did you become victorious before you were allowed to let your professional players in the Olympics? Because we had two gold medals before.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
We have a few.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Just putting that out there.
You want me to bring in my world junior medal? I got one.
But I bring this to the floor because, one, I hate this American Thanksgiving. Because I go back to, and maybe it's
recency. Well, we don't hate it.
No, I mean, if you aren't in the play, I love American Thanksgiving. Look at how I'm built. You clearly know I love it. But I'm referring to if you aren't in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving, because...
Bogus.
Go back to when the Blues won the Cup.
They were dead last.
Yeah. On January 3rd.
Dead last.
They woke up the morning of January 3rd and were dead last. Yep. They won a game that night. They climbed out of the basement. They won the Cup. You know who was in third to last when we hit New Year's Eve, New Year's Day? The Carolina Hurricanes. And they made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals that year.
Yep.
Now... if you want to get into, like, clearly you want to be in the playoff position. You never want to be a team chasing. I just think that the way that the games are now, the margin of error is so slight. Like, we all took for granted, the Rangers were going to be in. Well, they've got 44 points, and people are talking about the Rangers, like, what's wrong with them? They are literally 1 point out of third place, 2 points out of second.
Teams are, and we talk about the parity in the league, teams are too good. There are no, you can look at the bottom four and be like, yeah, they're not very good. Get it. But anyone in the hunt could make a charge to first place at any time. Anyone can get on a run like the Hurricanes are on. Because we talk about the snowball rolling down the hill. On a winning streak, you get on that snowball and you ride it as far as you can. On a losing streak, as you mentioned, the pressure to get off of it is harder. But so many teams, and I talk about the Metro all the time, every team that's going to be in the hunt for the playoffs can get on one of these runs. You look at the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils, who, as you mentioned, have only won once. They could win 13 in a row, no problem.
We've seen them do it. So,
but what I love about the Canes, and we talk about this a lot, and this streak they're on, the one thing I do look at, and although I'm not looking at the standings, I'm looking at the schedule. The Canes have it. A nice setup right now.
Yeah. After a brutal start.
Brutal. But you look at their remaining January through the end of the year, that's what I get kind of fired up on and be like, boy, this is a good spot for this team.
There is one thing, though, and I want to tie it back to the World Juniors, because Connor Bedard has that monster game against Germany.
Another one last night.
And no, so it walk with me on this path. You know, where I say there's no easy games, there's no nights off. How many front offices are taking a look at the draft and the lottery that's coming up, and they're going to start saying, well, we don't need to be good right now. So there might be some free lunch on the schedule.
Pretty sure Chicago had that thought in the summer last summer. I mean, you think about Chicago.
20 points right now as of recording this.
I don't think, and again, Patrick Kane is elite. He's one of the best American-born goal scorers ever. I don't know if he broke a bead in this building the other night. I don't think he had to shower after the game. He just left.
Yeah.
But they're going to trade Patrick Kane. They're going to trade the veteran Jonathan Toews. I've heard there's rumors that they may, you know, just to get more first-round picks, trade Seth Jones. I think that's a stretch if they did that. But if you did that and you go back to their roster, they would have one player signed through the end of next year if they trade those three guys. Like, that's how bottom ready to reset the Chicago Blackhawks are. And again, Connor Bedard is a game changer. He is the closest comparison, and again, I'm not even going to say he's the same, to Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Alex Ovechkin. That's what this kid is.
Yeah, he's a franchise changer.
Yeah.
But much like what we've seen with Connor McDavid, you got to get other players around him.
It just takes time.
That's the thing. Like, you're not going to bring in Connor Bedard and then all of a sudden win everything.
Like, you, when the Oilers took Connor McDavid, it obviously was the right move, and Leon Draisaitl was a good move. But you have to go back a few years before that. They continue to take and make the moves the wrong way. And I think that's what the Hurricanes, and I tip my cap to Don Waddell and his entire staff, Darren York, and all the scouts are out there. Because so many teams sit at the table and be like, just take the best player. But I think our team does such a good job at diving deeper into what is our need. Look at our years coming up. What do we have? Where's the hole where this next pick is going to fit? Where Edmonton just continued to pick forward, 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 forward. And a couple of those forwards never panned out and played very much in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, Yakupov.
Yakupov. Puljujarvi is struggling still. He's playing, but he's struggling. I mean, Nugent Hopkins is still around. He's a valuable asset to them. But, you know, you moved on from Taylor Hall.
For Adam Larson. That's the deal. One for one.
Oh, by the way, Adam Larson is now playing where? Seattle?
Yeah. And he is.
So look at with the move. That is where you, when you look at franchises and why teams are successful. But,
yeah, Taylor Hall is also on like his fifth team since New Jersey had him.
Like, that's where sometimes we look past because, again, people get
caught up
in why do we do this move? Why do this move? It takes time to show those moves. But this organization, top to bottom, to me is so smart and cautious and with the things they do and the guys they get.
It's one of the reasons why when people come up and say, Canes need to make this move. And I'm like, okay, I don't disagree. How are they going to do it?
Yes.
And what are you going to give up? And how are you going to fit this player in under the cap?
Yeah.
And then what happens in 2 years when this player's up? You know, that's to what Shane has just pointed out. That's how the sport is run right now. The front office isn't just looking at this year. They're looking at how do we keep this wagon rolling next year, correct, and the year after, and in year number five when our best player's contract is up, how is his contract going to be affected by this guy's contract who we're going to have to sign and then put him through? And, you know, maybe the salary cap goes up where it is projected to go up $10
million. I heard it might be a two-year delay on that.
Yeah, heard that too.
So it may not be this summer the cap going up. It'll go up some, but the big jump, I think, is 2 years away. But you look at, and go back to last summer. I was sitting at home when the deal went down, and I had no idea that Max Pacioretty was an option. And how excited are we that every day at practice we see this guy go out and rip the pucks around when that guy slots back in the upcoming months? That's a game-changer player. You don't have to trade.
No, that is...
You're just waiting for him to become healthy.
Look, Don Waddell said it at the beginning of the season when we knew, all right, Max Pacioretty is going to try to fight back from this Achilles tear that he has, but he's projected 4 to 6 month recovery, and that's right. The plane he's on right now. But Don Waddell has given interviews. He's talked to people. I'm sure he's talked to you about this. I was in a room when I heard him talk about this as well, where he goes, when Max Pacioretty comes back, that's the player that we would have gone and made a trade for.
Correct.
To boost our power play, to boost our offense.
Right, because at the deadline, who do we need? We could use a goal scorer, like a guy who could score 30. He's here. And, he's just waiting.
And a guy who knows how to score on the power play. Oh, he's here.
Oh, wait, has he played in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Has he been a captain for one of the more storied franchises in sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So he's there. I do want to do a little give and take, you know, and it's not one of these.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
But I do have a couple of those
for you. More of a volley.
Yeah. Just on the early goings right now of where we are as we turn the calendar into 2023. But who is the player that you look at in the NHL that has most impressed you this year?
Oh, wow.
It doesn't have to be somebody like, I mean, we could look at Connor McDavid impresses everybody. The man has 67 points in 36 games.
Yep.
He's doing stuff that I thought would never, ever happen again in this league.
Right. You look at Austin Matthews. He's going to get those goals, all of those things. I mean, watching Jack Hughes and the way he plays on a nightly basis. And again, I'm going to still scour the league with my mind. But one guy that truly, and I'll say this, I was hard on this guy last year after the season. I'm like, what is going to happen? Can he make the move? Marty Natchez.
Oh, you're staying. You're keeping it here.
I'm going to keep one here, then I'm going to go into the league. I'll give you two.
Ooh.
Marty Natchez, to me, bravo to, when you talk about, again, this guy's a young man. When you finish a year like you did, honest with himself, and then goes back out through the summer to mentally and physically get ready to be the player that this organization drafted and knew he could be with the skill. And he's shown it nightly. And that's what I think about it when you look at, it's one thing for a young guy to come out, boy, look at that game.
Yep.
Consistently, Marty Natchez has played the right way this year.
Yeah. I mean, you must have been reading into the, or had somebody hack into the old Twitter machine for you, because that question is going to come up later. But I agree with you 100% on Natchez. Everything you just said.
So my other guy, I'm going to give you two more.
Okay.
I'm going to go old school. Two of these guys are playing like they're 25 years old.
You and I are on the same page with this.
Sidney Crosby as one.
And
Patrice Bergeron.
Oh, you're going Bergie. Then I've got another one to add.
Oh, go.
Alexander Ovechkin.
Well,
I would have thought at some point.
Did you think he was going to take a dip?
Yes. I really thought at some point.
The only reason, again, I dislike the Caps. Is one of the reasons I would hope to take a dip, because I don't want the Caps to win anything.
Yeah.
But also, I'm from Alberta. I watched the Edmonton Dynasty. I don't want someone to beat Wayne Gretzky's record.
894, to me, was a number that no one would ever approach.
I think we've talked about this. Both of us were like, nope, we'll get there.
Not going to do it. He scored 50 last year. He's, again, on pace to score 50 this year.
I was watching games last night, and I flipped over to catch the highlights of that game. And when you talk about pure goal score, pure, and there's been a few, watch the goal he scores on his breakaway last night. I'm going to go ahead and say this. As an analyst and a former player, he missed it. When he shot it, that's not where he was planning to go. Because that's what caught the goaltender. The goaltender is going up, and it goes right on the ice through his 5-all. I just think that wasn't what Ovechkin was looking at when he let it go. That's pure goal score.
But he's the guy to me. I mean, at some point, you're going to dip. The goals are going to become less. And, you know, he's not doing it with Nick Backstrom. The rash of injuries this Caps team
has
had.
That's a great point.
You'd figure that it wouldn't. Nope. He just goes out, scores goals. I am glad that you said Patrice Bergeron, because I don't know if there's been a player in the history of the league who's played at the level he's played at. Mm. I mean, we might have to rename the Selke Award the Bergeron because of how good he is as that two-way forward.
And when you talk, I mean, again.
But the season he's having right now for that team.
Oh, phenomenal.
And, you know, Pasternak's getting the goals and getting the points, but Bergeron drives that car.
Yeah, the start of the year, Bergeron was leading the team in points. But I look at him, and when you talk about class, this guy, I mean, we hate the Bruins and playing them, and, you know, But this guy, I mean, what a classy, hardworking. That's why he's got the C. I mean, again, we talk about Jordan Staal. Patrice Bergeron's in that category, too.
Plus 20.
Plus 20.
And he goes out against the other teams. But the funny thing about the Bruins, and I'm being raised the way that I was, I have no love for anything from the New England, Boston area at all. As a matter of fact, my...
I do like the North End.
Yeah, the restaurants. The restaurants there. Yeah. Well, no, the food in the restaurants in Boston and the history there are incredible. But my dad would always tell me, you could cheer for any team you want to, but if you ever come into this house wearing a Boston Red Sox hat, and again, I don't want to do this to poke fun, but he would be like, there's no heat in the garage in the wintertime. Just remember that. So that was my dad's. So I was never going to do that. Why are the Bruins the one franchise where you look at throughout their history, you'd be, I don't like this team, but they had the classiest guy on their team. They had it from Bobby Orr to Ray Bourque, from Ray Bourque, Zdeno Chara, and Patrice Bergeron. They always have that one guy where you're like, this is the classiest guy. Man, I wish we could get that guy on our team.
I think it gets overlooked by the way they've played their entire, you know.
Well, it's, and I think it goes.
They hit hard, they fight, they play not dirty.
Well, no, but I think it goes.
At times it's been dirty-ish.
But I think it goes back to, okay, well, they have Patrice Bergeron, but they also have Brad Marchand.
Sure.
They have, you know.
I mean, everyone can say anything they want about Zdeno Chara just because he played the game hard, right?
Yeah.
You hate Boston because he played hard.
Plays hard, and he hit people because he was bigger than everybody and he could.
They've been coached to say, hey, when we go on, we're going to play a hard, physical, big game. If you want to fight, we'll fight. We'll slash. We're going to set the tone. Patrice Bergeron goes out. He doesn't play that way.
Nope.
But that's just the way that organization plays.
Yeah. But, you know, Terry O'Reilly before Marchand. Milan Lucic as well. Again, big physical guy, but he'll run your goalie.
Right. And I would say this year they don't play as much like that. Like, I think they're more skill-based now.
Yeah, they are.
Look at DeBrusk, how he's playing this year. He plays a heavy game. You know, McAvoy plays a little on edge.
On the edge. But, again, the funny thing, too, you hear that, you know, the stories about those guys with how they played, and anybody would tell you Terry O'Reilly was the nicest guy that you'd ever want to be around. Milan Lucic is the best teammate we've ever had. And Marchand, you played against him in junior. He's turned himself into this player.
Yeah. Elite-level player. And you and I were having a discussion just last week when we were on the road in Pittsburgh. We were talking to somebody, and they said how in the room and away from the rink, how good of a dude Brad Marchand is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, as fans, you don't see that all the time, especially as opposing. You see what he's doing on the ice.
Yeah.
He gets under your skin. He does a job.
No, that's it. Again, it's one of my favorite things in sport. If there is a consensus player on the other team that everyone in the league hates, everyone in the league wants that guy on their team.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys.
Oh, yes. There's a ton. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
But no, that's and Sidney Crosby is – I want to know what Fountain of Youth he's drinking from.
Yeah. They dropped the ball there tonight, though. Blew a 4-0 lead. Whoops.
Well.
Whoopsies.
Once again, 4-goal leads now. It's now the 4-goal lead is now the dreaded 3-goal lead.
Canes are in the heads of the Penguins. Can't lose it.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, hang on. You ever have that?
Yes.
Where your team is in their head, and you guys knew it, and vice versa?
Story time.
Let's go.
I was with Tampa playing in Hershey, Pennsylvania. So that year, Tampa and Colorado split the American Hockey League team, similar to what the Canes had done in Charlotte before. We could not beat the Philadelphia Phantoms. We just couldn't do it. Whether we were in their building, our building, we'd blow leads. Couldn't get, you know, hammered by them. It didn't matter. We go into the last game of the year. We got a chance to get in the playoffs. We need 2 full points. We can't tie. One doesn't get us in. We get 2, we get in.
Yep.
We're battling. I mean, we're all out laying out. Game's close. It's tied. I get a partial breakaway right near the end of the game. Guy hooks me, takes a 2-minute. Like, we were looking almost like penalty shot, and the ref's like, no, power play. Coach calls a timeout. He goes, we got to score. Like, we're going to pull the goalie. We're like, no problem. 6-on-4. We got it. We're drawing up plays. We're shooting around, and I was beside the net play had broken down, so I had gotten over beside the net. Rebound comes over off the goaltender. He'd come out challenged really high on top of his crease. Rebound bounces down to the side of the net to me. Get on my tape, but I'm below the goal line. Like, I can't just shoot in the net. Yeah. I can't tuck it. He gets up, turns around, and he's, like, facing the net. And I'm like, oh, I got two pads. Shoot at his pads, ricochet, game's over. I snap it at him. He flinches. I swear to you, if I had video of this, he flinched. It goes five hole, so it misses him, off the sideboards and in our own net. True story to this day, Paul Fixter was my coach. We sat in the room in silence after and couldn't believe it happened. It wasn't like I hit a slapper and no one could catch either. One of our defensemen was skating back, couldn't get there. Between his legs, off the boards, down the ice, in my net.
And he flinched.
Season's over. Even he looked at me after it went in. He goes, you could just see in his eyes, he's like, are you serious? I'm like, that was the year we were over. Over.
It's awful when there's a team that you know you can't beat.
Oh.
But it's also the other side of that coin. Like, we've had a lot of other sides of the coin here on Kane's Cast today. When you're the team where you know, oh, yeah.
Oh.
They could bring back, they could dress the Oilers in their prime against us. Nope.
No chance.
You're done. We've got the W. We've got questions to get into, Shane.
Well, it's been a while. We probably got it done.
No, but we also have.
What else we got?
Well, no, I have.
If you like it, you can take it. If okay, you don't, send it right back.
And it goes with the standings in the Metropolitan Division, which, imagine this, the run that the Carolina Hurricanes are on. Winners of 9 in a row, points in 15 straight. They only have a six-point lead over the New Jersey Devils in the Metro Division. But, seeing you know what it is, the Canes will win this division by 10 points or more.
Send it back.
Really?
Oh, and that is not a shot at our team. I love our team. I love how good we are. I just go back to my thing. The Metro is good. The Penguins will come. The Rangers will come. The Devils will sort it out, I think, and still get in. It's not a 10-point spread at the end of the year.
Well, it is funny. You're talking about a team that won 13 in a row in New Jersey, and now they're teetering on the brink of maybe not making the playoffs.
Correct.
Or at least falling out of the top three.
But I think why I think the Devils get in is because I think Columbus Flyers will continue to fade like a three-legged horse.
Yeah. You want a bonus like you take it?
Sure.
All five teams, you can get five teams in your division
you think
into
we
the
get
playoffs.
Both wild cards.
I think we get both wild cards in the Metro.
I do, too. I
to your point.
Yeah.
Because the only team that could ruin this mix would be the Florida Panthers if they get it sorted out.
Yes.
But
I completely agree with you.
Florida has 36 games played, and they only have 36 points.
A lot of injuries and things going on. They haven't been getting the goaltending. You know, Spencer Knight's been out for a while. I think we'll see him tonight here in Raleigh. Bobrovsky hasn't been great.
No.
Barkov's been in and out of the lineup. Well, he scored a hat trick in the first period last night. Whoa.
Yeah. So, and again, I don't play into the...
No, I still think the Metro will be close, but I agree with you, Metro wildcard action.
Yeah. I think that the Metro gets five teams in. They just
do. I'll take it.
I don't know who's going to... I mean, that means Florida falls out, but that's where we're at. Here we go. Question time, if you are ready. This is from Pat Rubin. If the opposing team is here early and the Canes are playing the previous night at PNC, is there a suite set aside for them to watch the game if they are interested? Thank you for answering my question. And last question.
That's a good question. And the answer is no.
Nope.
Coaching staff or management could come and sit in the press box, obviously, where, I mean, there are scouts at every game in the press box. Which is a very big area.
Yeah.
Plenty of scouts from around the league, especially close to the trade deadline, are in watching both teams, not just the home team. But majority of the time with technology and video and all that stuff, they don't bother coming to the rink.
Yeah.
They're here all the time. Those are nights they're like, I don't need to go watch another hockey game.
Yeah.
We got all the video from the last time we played the Canes, broken down already. They're not going to see anything new or different if they show up at the rink. But definitely, we're not giving out no suites.
No.
Those are for our people.
Suites aren't given out, Pat. But they are welcome, as Shane said, in the press box. There's rooms here. Jack from DC, Canes fan. We've kind of already answered this. After 35 games, think we're past 35, aren't we? No, 35. 35. That's where we're at. 23, yeah. 6, after and 6. Win, yeah. Who is the most improved player on the team? In my opinion, there are multiple candidates. Marty Natchez.
Yep. Take it.
So, anybody else? See, when I look at improved, I think of young guys who take steps forward.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, I said this the other night when we talk about a hot line, we talk about Jordan Staal's line, Jordan Marnock, Jesper Fast. I think those guys, I do believe both those guys will get career highs in goals this year.
Oh, I do too, but I don't think those guys are improved. Those guys play the same game every night.
Right.
It's just I think in Jordan Martinook's case, he's healthy. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Yeah. That's made a world of difference for him. And Jesper Fast, why is that line so good? It's no secret. Because they play the same way every night.
Yeah.
And that is a hard line to play against. And the mesh is perfect because
Coach Chetkov.
You've got the sure. Although he was 3-0 last year. I mean, just adding to that. All right.
But I would say he's improved because I do think he's improved structurally.
Okay. This is from Richie Stevens. So bear with me.
Is it a long one?
No. Can you Eli 5, but I think it's explain. It just turned into Eli 5.
Okay.
Can you explain what it means when somebody is on waivers or why a player might be put on IR retroactively? All right. So waivers is simply this. You want to send a player down to the minor leagues. They are on a contract that generally is just an NHL deal or a two-way contract.
Or a guy who's played enough games enough in the NHL. Years professionally that – it's mandatory you put him on waivers before he can get sent to the minor league affiliate.
Yeah, and Shane also says a key word there, professionally. That means having pro seasons under his belt. So you put him on waivers. So any team in the National Hockey League, the 31 other teams can claim him and then make him a member of their organization.
And at the time you put him on waivers, there is a waiver order. So first team, depending on status,
yeah,
who puts in the claim will get the player.
And by status, it's like a draft. If you have the worst record, you have the first claim.
Correct.
As far as the putting somebody on IR retroactively, that's just to, you want to put them on injured reserve, but injured reserve, what, it's 7 days if you're put on IR?
Yeah, because when you get put on IR, there's a minimum you have to be on there. So they make it retroactive if they know a guy's going to be ready in 4 days. Let's make it retroactive so he's already past the 7.
Yeah.
So we can bring him back quickly. A lot of times with the IR, it is to save cap space, bringing players in and out,
yeah,
you know, paper moves, things like that. Long-term IR is obviously different when you know a guy like Max Pacioretty is going to be out for months at a time. That becomes a factor, too, with your salary cap and how you save down the road.
This is from Daniel Wagner for you, Shane. Two hockey questions. One of my favorite things is to watch the goalies prepare the crease before the start of the period. Does the blue crease feel different after they prepare it, and what advantage does it provide?
That's really a good question as you watch that stuff. And when you look at a goaltender, what you mean, he's going back and forth. He's stopping. He's scratching up the blue area. Biggest reason, he doesn't want to slide as far, right? So when the ice is completely smooth, if a goalie goes down, I mean, he could take off all the way to the corner if he pushed hard enough. That puts down some friction, which helps him structurally and hit the brakes and stay in his zone better.
So there you go. Does it feel different to you?
After they do it?
Yeah.
I mean, just snowy. More friction. We're not allowed to go in there.
Oh, I thought those were his two questions. He sneaks in another one here.
Oh, I thought that was only one. Yeah, I only got one out of that.
No, it was.
Oh, does it feel different?
Gotcha. And what's the advantage? I thought that
was a 1A, 1B.
Yeah, 1A, 1B. So technically 3. Everybody is learning from our man who asks us 45 different questions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's Ross.
Ross has been unavailable lately. With video being available on the bench, do players adjust their actions on upcoming shifts? I'm thinking of it like a baseball hitter adjusting their approach after each at bat. How has video on the bench impacted the game? Again, he sneaks two questions into one. That's 4 questions out of 2. Daniel, is this Ross?
Yeah. As a complete game, no. I think a lot of things you're looking at special teams, right? Have they changed something in game? Or basically you're going back to, you know, from your pregame scouting, why did that play just happen? So you could adjust in certain small ways, but not, they're not making wholesale adjustments, if you will, in game. And I think it's changed the game for immediate response, right? Players are so much more into that. They want to see, they want to have answers, and it's easier for the coaches to show them in that moment. I mean, it's an advantage. Why wouldn't you use it?
I just look at it this way. If you prepared for a team that, you know, they always do this, and then they're doing something different that you weren't expecting in game, rare that that happens, but it does, you get a look at the video and you can be like, oh, okay, they're doing this, so what our plan of attack was, we need to change it up a little bit.
Yep.
That's it. All right. We knew these questions were coming, Shane, so here do we go. Or here we go. Or here do we go.
Here we go?
If there are three healthy goalies, how do you find the time to keep them all ready to go? Alternatively, what if you played one goalie per period? Not a serious question, but I'm curious what you think.
Give it to me again.
If there are three healthy goalies, how do you find the time to keep them all ready to go? And then alternatively, what if you played one goalie per period? Not a serious question. Curious what you think. Not a serious answer to it, because there's no way on this
idea.
Frozen earth would I go with, we're going to put in a new goalie every period.
No. Three goalies is not, it's impossible to get them all equal amount, the right preparation, the right amount of time to stay sharp. That's why you don't see every team carrying three goalies besides the salary cap. So I think one thing you're getting at, this isn't going to happen to me. Will it happen for a short period of time? Maybe. But there's still an unknown with Freddie Anderson of when he'll be back or what he can do. I think we still have plenty of time before that happens. So it's not ideal. I think you have to make that move, whether somebody goes to the minors, even if it's a veteran guy. You know, you've seen that before. You can go to the American Hockey League on an NHL contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see what the Hurricanes do and what Don Waddell figures out to resolve the situation, because I think, as we mentioned, with the extension and with what he's done, Pyotr Kochetkov is showing he can be that number one guy here in Carolina.
Yeah, to answer the first question, the serious part of it, I just don't think there's a way that you find the time to keep all three ready to go. Somebody is not going to get the net enough in practice. And, you know, ideally you're going to go with two goalies and you spot a third one in there. Now you're taking somebody out of their rotation, getting them a little bit out of the mix.
And it's a lot with rhythm with goaltenders, you know, days off in between, timing of shots, all those things. Games are not like practices. So that's why there's two. That's why you want to get your guy in more than the backup, all those situations.
Oh, and by the way, you can only dress two goalies.
Correct.
For a game. So to Jim's not
Every
serious question.
Work.
Yeah. You can only rotate the two that you have.
Yes.
And then there's the e-bug.
Yes.
Can the NHL fix the e-bug situation?
How?
To provide a goaltender who, I don't know, had NHL experience and can be, I mean, this is where it becomes difficult, and I understand it, because if
that's more serviceable than a Zamboni driver?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for, even though it made for a wonderful story. You know, more serviceable than the accountant.
Yeah. Our e-bug got dressed the other night after the Flyers goaltender got hurt. Carter Hart left the game.
But I just bring that point up where a lot of the guys who are e-bugs, they haven't played in a while. Or if they did,
they played lower end college and they play beer league.
And it wasn't good enough to keep them playing professionally.
Yeah.
I'm just at, there's got to be a better situation to this, a better solution.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think they're that concerned about it because of the 0.2% chance that it
the
happens.
Rarity, I get it. But still.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a close game on that 0.02 chance, right. you're in a close game with the playoffs on the line.
Yeah.
And you bring in somebody who just becomes, you know, an absolute
funnel.
Yeah. you know, what's the name of the thing that they tie up to the net that you shoot at?
Shooter-tooter.
The shooter-tooter.
They'd be better off with one of those.
Yeah, sometimes you are. I just, because I hate it. I hate it for the guys who get put in, and if they get lit up, you know, the rare chance that you do win, well, then that kind of becomes, you know, great story for the Carolina Hurricanes when it happened, but black eye for the Maple Leafs and kind of for the league.
Yeah.
That you let something like that happen. I mean, honestly, I can't see baseball going, oh, well, you need a pitcher? Oh, we got some dude who threw when he was 9 years old. We're going to bring him in for the ninth inning here.
He was playing church softball last week. You could really toss it up there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you got to bring in your right fielder.
Yeah, that's – that. Didn't that used to be the thing? Wasn't there always one of the guys who was a forward or a defenseman?
It's always talked about. Who would you put in?
I think
it was like him because he's big.
If I remember correctly, I think Ray Whitney was – the guy.
I did it a couple times in the summer. Not once I was professional, but as kids, you're always like, we don't have a goalie. Who's putting the pads on? And I hated it.
But, I mean, it's just I just look at, like, in the NFL, it'd be somebody going, well, our quarterbacks are down. What are we going to go with? Well, Timmy quarterbacked his Pop Warner team.
Section 324, row R.
it just has that feel to me. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
And, again, I get – the why and
sure. What
comes with it, but and good for the guys who get in and make the most of the appearance.
What happened to make it start? Did we lose two goalies in one game?
George Alves? That people were saying that, you know, it's kind of a unfair advantage that a team could have a guy on their staff who could actually play goal?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't know if that was the full impetus for, yeah, this is why we do it. But I just remember it wasn't shortly after George got in on New Year's.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
And again, wouldn't you rather have that as a team, especially the visiting team, than have a Hurricanes fan putting on the pads?
Yeah. In your net? That's my other side of the coin for this.
Yeah.
Again, we all keep flipping that points, coin. Yeah. Just saying. And you, part of your job is finding e-bugs, right?
Yeah. I got three.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's, I mean, I need you to come to NHL games. Can you come 41 times? That's hard for the average Joe.
Yeah.
So I got three guys that have a nice rotation.
There you go. All right. But it all started with a good question from Jim. And then his not serious question that led us to a serious topic. Thank you, Jim. Wait.
Thank you.
Even better. This from Jesse. So when are y'all having Hannah Rae Yates back on? She's awesome, has awesome insight and takes, and should be totally a guest more often on Canes Cast. We can do this before the end of the season. We know where she is.
Sure. We can find her.
Yeah. We definitely plan on having Hannah back on.
Yes. Answer, yes.
Yeah. The answer is yes. We
always need a little Yahtzee.
We are. Still outstanding. We're planning on getting more guests, too, as we get all of this sorted out. This is from Coach Owen. Quick one. Can you don the armchair Don for a moment and explain how the Canes can get cap compliant when bringing Max Pacioretty up to the active roster? His isn't a little number. Thanks, fellas. Happy New Year. I got this one for you, Shane.
Oh.
The reason why it won't be a problem is we take a look at the old Cap Friendly, which is without a doubt one of the greatest websites for information.
Is. Free.
The people who do this, they are doing the heavy lifting for everybody. Right now, the Carolina Hurricanes' current cap space is $7.764 million. Max Pacioretty's cap hit, even though he's on LTIR right now, when they activate him from that, his salary is $7 million. If I do the math correctly, that fits.
Right. And if you didn't have three goaltenders, you have room to add some pieces. Let's make some. You want me to get in the chair? I'm in the chair. Let's make some moves.
All right, there you go. Oh, we're going to talk about you being in the chair because we've got some fantasy hockey to talk about.
Oh.
With the Canes Cast.
Okay.
Conference.
Updates on the fantasy hockey.
Again, much like Team USA and Team Canada at the World Juniors, we're not going to win every game, but the wagon might be rolling right now, my friend. Mm. Oh, speaking of, you might be getting beat by the worst team in our other fantasy league. That's me.
It's early, Mike. It's early in the week.
It's Friday, buddy.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I just know that you're on the ropes. Can I deliver the knockout? That's what I'm looking for. We have more questions to get into, though. Thank you for that, Coach Owen. Glad we answered it for you. This is from Caleb. What are your thoughts on Marty Natchez taking on the 2C role, and what potential do you think a Svech Natchez Pacioretty line would have on the ice?
It's the guy in this room, because you and I were talking about that before we came on the air.
We were.
Like, when is there a time when everything becomes healthy? Is that in or on Rod Brindamore's whiteboard? Does Marty Natchez slide to the middle? We've seen him taking some faceoffs. We haven't seen him play a whole game at center yet. But I think it's an option. Again, Rod Brindamore is not saying Marty Natchez is not playing center. He wants to put lines together, one, that have chemistry, two, that play the right way. Is Marty Natchez ready for that position? We'll see.
Rod did say yesterday, though, after practice, because Natchez was centering a line. And he was asked about it, and he goes, well, we're not going to do it now because the way things are going with the team. You don't move pieces around just to see how it looks.
Don't mess with a winning streak.
I'm so happy you keep going back to that movie. If you're scoring goals because you are or because you aren't, that is what you are doing.
Don't touch it.
Don't mess with a streak. Don't touch it. Correct. Dustin Patrick, will the Canes ever release an in-season documentary similar to Behind the Bees or The Road to the Winter Classic? The Road to the Winter Classic, all that stuff is done by, it used to be HBO, then it went to Epics, and I think it went back to HBO. That's usually done by the NHL. The stuff with the Behind the Bees, the Edmonton Oilers used to do it.
There's a few teams doing it now.
Yeah.
That just comes down to, staffing, your ability to do those things. And I think the Hurricanes and I've been in meetings where you talk about that. And obviously now, our fan base talking about it has an appetite for it. So it always goes back to all of those things of, does it make sense? Do you have the ability and time to do it right? Right? Because you don't want to do something that ends up, going by the wayside. It's tough.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it would be tough.
And
that's a lot of video. That's a lot of editing, cutting room floor stuff. It's not just you go in the room, follow guys around on camera and say, here we go, hit play.
Yeah.
Because you can't show everything.
Yeah. There are so many hours that go into producing those kind of shows.
It's a full production.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, camera people, at least four full-time following the team around. Production, assistants, producers, three or four, because you've got to come up with other stories. Editors, at least two or three. I mean, it is a full-time gig to try to put that together. The Storm Cellar. Do you expect Patches, that would be Max Pacioretty, to start in the top six, or do you think that Rod Brindamore will give him a game or two with limited minutes to get up to game speed? One thing that Rod Brindamore has always said, when you're ready to play, you're ready to play. So it would lead me to believe he would put him in a top six pairing or trio. I mean, you could put him anywhere if you want to, but
he's not. For a minute, I thought he was talking about Patches O'Houlihan.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Max Patrick, again, it would be different, I think, if you had it. He's a veteran guy who's ready. He's going to want to jump back in.
What are you drinking over there, Shane?
I don't know. You brought it.
Oh, I thought you were making another Patches O'Houlihan reference for me.
Oh. It's our rabbit hole again.
Exactly.
No, I think he plays in the top six.
Yeah. That's I always
Because, again, as we watch Max practice and how hard he's working, when he says, I'm ready, he is going to be ready, not let me feel out a couple of these games.
And the advantage is you can always move him down.
Correct. And he's a player that playing 6 minutes doesn't help him.
No. He's got to play his normal minute load.
Yes.
Has to. This from Amanda. If the league were to add another team and you got to pick where would it be And what would the mascot be? P.S. You should both do stand-up.
Well, there's one former player doing that now, I heard.
But. Yeah.
Well, there's only two spots.
There's three that I have where you could put a team. I think
the hard part is adding one team, we're getting back into it. Right now we have balance.
Well, I know, but you're saying like adding one team right now just because.
Mine would be.
Actually, I have four places I could put a team.
Really?
Yeah. Are you going to go Quebec City?
Well, my two were Houston or Quebec City.
Okay. Quebec City's not on my list.
And you still have three or four?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't think that you can put another team in Canada. I just don't think you can do it.
It's untrue. You put 10.
You could, but it's not going to impact where the majority of the money comes from, which is the United States television deal.
True.
Just saying.
The Canadian television deal is good.
It's fine, but it's not what TNT and ESPN are ponying up.
No.
And
so where's your spot?
I'm sorry, I'm dead serious when I say this. Outside of maybe Boston and Buffalo in the United States, in Detroit, how many people would tune in to watch a Quebec game if they're just a team? Now, like, if they're the best team, if you have Connor this is the thing that bothers me. Connor McDavid's is on another planet when it comes to his talent. But I don't think he moves the needle in the United States markets for whatever reason. He should.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
So that's why I say no to Quebec.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great hockey market. I'm not slamming the hockey market. I am
looking at the business side.
From the straight, this is straight business, homie.
Okay, then I go to Houston.
Houston, Kansas City.
Oof.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
It's Algonquin for the good land. Or Portland, Oregon.
Mm.
Those are the four.
Portland has a nice junior hockey team there.
The Winter Hawks.
Hockey, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They've got a rich tradition of hockey there.
I would say no to Kansas City.
Okay. I mean, the scouts were there before.
I've been there before. We played in the IHL there. There's nothing else.
The Chiefs and the Royals, and then a hockey team.
All right. So Houston.
And then the Blues.
If it was the Houston.
Or R&B, I should say.
My mascot's name would be Harry. And it would be, it wouldn't be a rocket. That's the basketball team. That's another story for another day. My mascot would be.
If it's called Harry,
yeah,
it would have to be that giant thing from Bugs Bunny when we were kids, Gossamer, that big red furry thing.
Oh, yeah, could be.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of a cool name though.
The Portland Purple Monkey Dishwashers.
Just went down another hole there.
Oh, that was my a good friend of mine. That was his fantasy hockey team name forever.
Houston.
Arrows.
No, existed once.
Exactly.
Hornets?
No.
That doesn't sound mean enough to be bees.
And by the way, we couldn't do that with Portland because you're only allowed three names for the NHL.
Oh.
That's why it's not the Las Vegas Golden Knights. It's the Vegas Golden Knights.
Is that why they changed that? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Not allowed to have four. Okay.
The Houston Hyenas?
No. I don't think there's a hyena in. Well, there might be. It's Texas.
Oh. I don't know. That's a tough question on the spot.
All right. So.
Maybe if I think of it by the end of the show, I'll come back.
So you're putting it in Houston then?
Houston's my pick.
Okay. I'll go Portland just so we're not in the same city.
Okay.
But Houston probably would be the city. I had a couple other ones for you. This is a good question from Shaft along the lines on the Max Pacioretty questions. Is this the equivalent of getting Doug Waite or Mark Recchi for this team?
Yes.
Second, I know that we talk about the chances of the Canes generate, but will they become better finishers of them? Example, 3 goals on 49 shots seems like eh. Meaning adding Pacioretty that they'll be better finishers.
That will bring your percentage up.
One would think.
But. I just think sometimes, again, I think there's certain stats you get pulled into saying, oh, you know, you look at that percentage, you're like, they can't score. The Canes have great goal scores. You do. And I just think right now they're not finding the back of the net. But you have to remember, too, the Canes utilize their points a lot. So a lot of those shots are coming from the blue line. I wonder if we could do that. New stats, break down shots from the point.
Oh, yeah. You can do that. That's out there.
Because I wouldn't say those are grade A's. Those goaltenders should be saving those unless they're completely screened.
But to one thing I want to point out, when you hear like three goals on 49 shots, the goaltending in this league is so much better than it ever was. So the goalies have a lot to do with how many or how few come through. Here's one for you, Mr. Willis. It's for both of us. But how do you feel about the tendency to fire pucks from the D zone towards an empty net instead of working it out of the zone so that there's no icing? Seems like there's been a major shift towards firing on net. I had to read that because there was a missprint on me.
What's the score?
It's an empty net.
Yeah, but what's the score?
I don't know.
Are we up by one?
Yeah. Well, if it's an empty net, I would assume yes.
I think a lot of that goes back to, one, confidence of guys who think.
Well, what about you? Do you like that it's just turning fire or no? I understand it was a defensive scenario, but I'm just saying, are you all right with turning fire, and if it's an icing, we'll just do the draw and do it all over again, or no, you should chip it out and try to make sure there is no icing?
When I have, again, I lean on the defensive structure of the Carolina Hurricanes, and when I have a guy like a Jordan Staal on the ice taking faceoffs, I would be firing away. Now, you have to have the guys that are shooting in, they have that confidence. If they get full possession, it's on their forehand, they have a little second to get it going. But I don't mind it. Obviously, shorthanded, it's easy to fire away because you're not taking icing penalties.
Right.
But yeah, I think players just know if they get a little bit of room, they can make it.
Yeah.
Now, it is risky, but how often do you see the faceoff come back and end up in your net?
And I think the skill level of the guys now taking aim for the net. And the sticks, a little bit better, a little bit more control.
I mean, goalie got pulled. I just untied my skates. We had to lead. Became the grocery stopper between the benches.
Nice.
Talk to the D a little bit.
Shane, go to the end. Make sure that no D jumps up and no forward gets in the wrong spot. This from Shannon. Do you expect any movement in terms of trading when it comes towards the trade deadline? If so, what possibilities, if any, do you think would happen? We've gone over this before. Yes,
always a chance.
Yes, and
you're always, again, there isn't a GM in the league that isn't going to take a call and listen and then examine, does this make my team better? Does this make me better long term? What am I giving up? Always answer the phone just to listen.
Yeah. And I've said it and I'll continue to say it. I think everything's always on the table with this organization. So, like, what moves you anticipate, whatever this team thinks will make them better.
Right. Also, we can't predict a trade deadline. One, do you have a hole and a need to fill?
Yeah.
Do you have some rash injuries pop up? Whatever it could happen that you need something to keep you through. Do you have room in your cap?
Yeah.
It's quite a puzzle.
This from Carolyn for you, Mr. Willis. I'm just reading here. Some arenas have the visiting team on the left bench. Others on the right. Does this matter much? Thinking about line changes on the fly, right or lefty or wing, needing to skate farther for one or two periods. You don't skate farther for two periods. I know the question's for you, but you start in whatever side your bench is on, that's the side of the ice you defend for the first and third. So it doesn't matter, right, if you're on the right or left?
No. But to answer your question, no, it means no different. But it is, when you talk about professional player, and when you talk about some buildings where you play better, mentally, visually, sometimes it can get into your head. You know, I think of a place, like most places you come out on the bench, like the Hurricanes do here at home. The visiting team does not. I never liked that. I like the locker room to be at the bench.
Yeah, attached, bench. Yeah.
But when you come out of the corner, just as soon as you got here, you're like, why don't we, you know, mentally, you're like, why am I over here? Just that visual part of your game.
San Jose's like that, where you got to cross the ice.
San Jose, Winnipeg.
Montreal?
Montreal, straight across the ice.
Yeah.
Toronto's down in the corner, but you're on the same side.
Yeah. The Rangers.
Rangers.
You got to go around the corner.
So it's more of a, you know, mental side of it. Not means nothing to the style of game or play.
But, yeah, whether the bench being on the right or left side doesn't matter.
No.
Didn't think so. And this from Heather. How are your holidays? Best gift. Mike, is your family safe in New York? Yes, my family is fine. Thank you for asking, Heather. Appreciate that.
holidays were awesome.
Yeah.
Low key.
Very low key.
Willis family did not go anywhere. Had a nice dinner out and just stuck around home. Stuck around beautiful Garnier.
Yeah, we on Christmas Day had some people come over who couldn't make it home for the holidays. So yeah. Very, very relaxed, very low key.
Best gift?
The gift of fellowship.
Fellowship. Health.
Yeah, knock on wood for that.
I'm not a big gifter. Never have been, really. I don't like shopping.
Neither am I.
I don't need to receive gifts. I did get a new bottle of cologne that I've gotten many compliments on. So if you get a waft of that as I'm walking the concourse, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs
60%
down.
Of the time.
It works every time. Right now I'm at 48%, so I can't say that.
climbing the charts. I actually got a really, really nice gift before the Christmas season approached us. A good friend of mine, because I have a downstairs area where I have like a bar, you've seen it, set up for the house. And his name's Michael Humphrey, and he made me a bottle opener. And it's wood-stained, handmade, and he engraved it with Big Rig on it. So
nice.
So, yeah, so that was a nice gift. And then I'm with you. I'm not a big – I don't like going shopping. I don't
– No.
I hate dealing with
it. I just like being together with family, friends.
Yep.
Having a good time.
But my wife did get me some slides, you know, like slippers, whatever. Have you seen the UFO stuff where they talk about, oh, it's different on your feet and they feel better?
No.
Well, you should, because I got them.
Are they for outside or in the home?
No, they're outside. You can wear them wherever you want.
Oh, they're like slides.
Yeah, they're slides, yeah. Or sandals, whatever you want to call them. So
flip-flops.
Flip-flops. They are comfy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little plug there for that company.
Quite enjoy. And you can sponsor Kane's Cast if you're listening, UFOs.
If anyone would like to sponsor, we'd appreciate it. It's Venmo.
Shane R. Willis. Did that story really happen? You told me somebody came up to you and said, there's no Shane R. Willis on Venmo.
Well, I'm pretty sure she was joking.
Oh, good.
But she said, your Venmo isn't working.
Well done.
I said, did you spell it right? No, I actually said, just hand me the cash.
That's even better. All right, Shane.
I'm at the desk every night. Just bring cash.
Happy New Year to you coming up, my friend.
Merry New Year, as my aunt would say. She writes Merry on everything. Merry Christmas, Merry Birthday, Merry New Year.
Merry Birthday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was taking me back to Trading Places. Happy New Year. We say happy New Year here.
Happy New Year. You'll be in New York.
Yep.
Have a safe trip, my friend.
Well, New Jersey, to be exact. Yeah. New Jersey. And then New York.
Think you can see the ball from your hotel?
I want no part.
You should go.
No, I want no part
of
that.
It's a challenge. It's a Twitter question. Why didn't Mike go to Times Square and take a picture?
I can answer it for you. Because people will be there.
A lot.
A lot of people.
I wouldn't go either.
Yeah, I'm not going to Times Square. Like those folks get there at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, not doing that.
No. Well, New Year's afternoon game in Jersey.
New Year's Day, 3 o'clock.
Don't miss it.
Well, we'll be back because the Florida game is national TV. Then we'll be back. Can we get you up to New Jersey and New York? These are two big games in the Metro.
No, it sounds like I'm needed here in beautiful Raleighwood.
I don't want to say anything, but you should be with us.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Anything else you want to add? Because you get the last word.
I don't think so. Just getting ready for the new year. Coming in hot. Hot. So
right. We'll leave it at that. We'll talk to you next week with this coming in hot New Year's for everybody.
Oh, boy. What day are we going to do pod next week?
We'll try to do it on Wednesday.
We'll try. Everyone, just wait. If we're not there Wednesday, just wait longer.
Yeah, that's all you have to do because we deliver.
Sure do. We're like a boomerang.
Thank you.